This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We hope you're having a great Monday. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings. Hanging out. Come on through, man. We'd love to get a chance to see you. We have $50 gift cards for Buffalo Wild Wings. We're going to give that away through some trivia. We've got a Kyle Pitts signed jersey to give away, amongst other things. And we'll be here until 7 o'clock. So come on through, man.
It's the perimeter location, guys, right by the mall. So just get off at 285. By the way, nice to get through 285 with all the construction.
No doubt.
Done.
Yeah. They did a fairly, I say fairly quickly, Mike, considering
yes.
The circumstances, but yes, it is nice to not have to deal with that. Although I will say this, if you're coming 285 and you missed your 400 exit, you got to go all the way
now
around.
Now you're basically you're Pascal Perez.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now you're
you got to go all the way around.
You can't get there from here. You're right.
Hey, man, before we get to an NFL blitz, we'll give away some game balls and no balls as well. Texas does apologize to Georgia for their student body. I will tell you guys,
shame.
They're not going to be able to find all those kids who threw stuff on the field. Some of them will be punished and not be allowed to be back in the stadium.
Did the pudgy kid with the big hair do it?
Well, here's the deal. They're going to look – we'll review the cameras, but you're not going to find all those kids. Here's the deal, though. The apology is there, and it says we deeply appreciate the passion and loyalty of our fan base at the University of Texas, but we do not condone the unsportsmanlike conduct that was exhibited by some individuals throwing objects onto the field in last night's game. We sincerely apologize to the University of Georgia, the players, coaches, fans. And the SEC, by the way, has fined Texas $250,000.
A lot of guys hit us up on the text line. We had our first conversation about the call, no call, the pass interference. And a guy says, you know, guys, you failed to mention, and we did, but I thought we did in the conversation. They spotted that ball for play.
They're ready to go.
The whistle was – I mean, that's when all the stuff started getting thrown by the student section you just referred to. Never seen anything like that, and I'd love to know what went on behind the scenes, and I'd love to see somebody spill the tea on that. Who got in the ear of that ref and said, look, we've seen this thing upstairs, and even though it's not reviewable, and you've already spotted the ball for play, we're going to overturn a call. That's unprecedented.
It is. Mike, I think they just discussed it. I don't know if it – listen, nobody pulled out a cell phone on the field.
But I've just never seen – all I'm saying is regardless of the call,
has.
I've just never seen anybody do – I mean, this play has been adjudicated.
Nope, nobody
they've had
has.
Their conference, and they said it's a penalty. It's pass interference.
This is why Kirby lost his blank, and he had every right to. I mean, if you really want to laugh, you go. Somebody go put out a video the way Kirby reacted when they came over and told him, "Coach, we've overturned it." He was literally like, "What? I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
What did you just say?"
Right.
And then he's asking how, and they're like, "Ooh!" And then you start reading his lips, and he's like, "That's BS. That's blankety blank BS." He had every right to be upset. But my point is, when the officials huddled up, somebody in that group said, "Did you see it? Did you see it?" "No, I didn't see it." "Well, I don't think it was a flag." And they started discussing it. I didn't like the process.
Right, because they've already had that. The thing is, they've already confabbed. You know, what do you got?
Well, the call's been made.
Right,
they hadn't had a group discussion.
Say, but that's the thing. The ref comes over, you know, the side judge. "What you got?" "I got pass interference on Texas." Boom. Then they have the confab. As I said, it's just kind of strange. Not used to seeing that. Love to see what the SEC. Well, we got the call. At the end of the day, they got the call right. It's just the how.
Correct.
That's the unprecedented part that makes you feel like, so a bunch of knuckleheads throw beer cans and water bottles on the field, buys you enough time for the refs to realize they really screwed up the call? That's not the way it's supposed to work.
No, it's not. But you can fix this, college football. Replay.
We
you
need it in
this.
The NFL. We got to get Rich McKay to get back in the NFL, and then we can get to college. But you're right. I'm with you.
It's easy. We see how it works in the pros. And oh, by the way.
Well, we had it, and we lost it.
Well, give the coaches a challenge flag. You know what? If Kirby, or for that matter, it wouldn't have been Kirby because the call was originally his, but it would have been sorry.
Right.
Throw the challenge flag. Like, in that moment, if you didn't feel like it was the right call. These are situations where we have solutions already. It's whether or not college football wants to incorporate them. 404-726-0929. Bad call either way around. And here's the good news, right? Didn't hurt them. Dogs win the game.
It didn't come back to catch it. Now, that would have been something if, you know, it's like, you know, when USA is playing Russia and you got like some, you know, Czechoslovakian or whatever it was, you know, Romanian, whatever, whoever the ref was, it was Warsaw Pact country. No, put time on clock, give ball to Russia.
Correct. Like,
what?
Yeah.
That silver medal we never claimed.
I think the bigger discussion is for college football as a whole and coaches around the country. Right? Because that's not a Sark or Kirby thing. That's an officiating thing. And anybody could have been harmed by that, no matter what stadium you might have been playing in, if the officials decide to do that again. And Kirby said it. Precedent's been set. So guess what? Georgia, when there's a – and I'm not encouraging this. Right. Georgia gets a bad call on them.
Right.
Just throw stuff on the field.
Now imagine if we take it all the way back to, like, the last game of Chipper's career, when they had that infield fly rule with the Cardinals. Imagine Major League Baseball, after all that refuse gets thrown on the field. We've had a change of heart. It's no, the infield fly rule is not enforced.
Not enforced. And they changed it.
That was the last time that Chipper had a chance to go to the playoffs.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, we got hosed.
Well, and Braves fans throwing stuff on the field, that's right. That's like sacrilegious.
Well, I mean, it was at the time, and again, we're not trying to condone this, because I remember people going, well, you're going to get hurt. And I got you. Gotcha. But it was kind of like a collective frustration.
It was.
At the end of the run of the Bobby Cox teams and everything else, just like, what the hell? And
but it was also in the
moment. You never see Atlanta do that, but it was just born of frustration.
Yes, and in the emotion. That's what I'm saying about the kids that did that. Now, they were idiots, but it should never happen. Hey, man, we're out here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Dogs, more on the dogs coming up. We're going to talk to Connor Riley about this win, and specifically the offensive and defensive lines that I thought did a really good job considering how they ran the football and then got after Quinn Ewers and even Arch Manning when he got a chance to get in there. That is on the way. But first, let's get to an NFL Blitz! Lots of stuff going on around the NFL, guys. And I think one of the biggest stories we've been following is Hassan Reddick. Was he going to potentially be available up until the trade deadline? The answer to that question is no. Yesterday morning, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, comes to an agreement with the Jets to say, hey, we'll report if you waive these fines. And that's pretty much what happened, Mike.
Yeah, and again, Rosenhaus was kind of looking at the way the wind was blowing and saying, Bubba, I can't get you plugged in anywhere else, so let's make nice. And what, Chris, you lost $12 million? At the end of the day, Hassan Reddick, what have you proven? Nothing. What have you gained? Nothing.
Nope.
So, look, the NFL owners always win in these situations. You and I said it last week. The last time a team caved and a player got what he wanted was Emmitt Smith. That was 1992. Nobody ever gets anything. Who was it? Le'Veon Bell lost nearly, they guesstimate, anywhere from $19 to $22 million by sitting out.
So, Jets lose last night. Here's my question. So, Hassan Reddick is there today. He's reporting today. All right, Davante Adams was on the field last night. Where's this spark that I keep hearing the Jets are going to get after firing Saleh, signing Davante Adams, and now Reddick is supposed to be in the building? Where's this spark?
Yeah, Ulbrich is like, yeah, we think maybe by week eight? I mean, what is he, like Fat Albert?
I told you.
You said it. Now, Carl had heard through his grapevine. He's got more connections. You got the connections.
I told you.
That he'd basically gotten maybe into a bit of a sedentary lifestyle since he wasn't at the Jets facility.
Well, he was watching old Soprano episodes.
I mean, hey. So now Hassan Reddick's got to get in game shape. The other thing, and I thought it was a great point they made on the broadcast last night, and I think it was Collinsworth talking about it. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, you're the leader. You let's go. This is it. You know, I mean, the Jets are all in, and everyone is going to get fired. The general manager is going to get fired. Coaching staff is going to get fired. The sense of urgency. And Davante Adams, I thought he had a great point. All this firepower, and this is all we can muster?
Yeah.
So, crazy. And on the flip side, you and I were debating, what is Mike Tomlin doing? Well, he knows, and he sees Russell Wilson gets the vertical passing game going for the Steelers, and they look great.
Well, and here's the other question. Like, my question now is, has he unlocked Pickens? Like, were they working out secretly together all of a sudden? Like, why did Pickens, and he made one amazing catch last night in coverage, but the touchdown was a great throw by
Russ.
Was
there a pass interference he also earned, which is like, you know, that's just flipping the field.
And I'm saying to myself, well, okay, for all the complaining that everybody was talking about, could you have done this with Justin Fields? I don't know. Whatever the situation is, does this give the Steelers a better chance to win the Super Bowl? And that's what Mike Tomlin is worried about. He's not worried about right now. Tomlin, they're going to be in the playoffs, guys. The defense is too damn good.
Right.
He's worried about, okay, in the playoffs, if we have to go play those Ravens or Kansas City, Bills, how do we keep up and how do we put points on the board? We'll see. I'm still not completely sold, Mike, because I think last night was one of those religious moments for Russell Wilson where he had been craving to get back on the field and show everybody, see, I can play,
right,
and was so amped up. He lived up to it, but I need to see consistency. That
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happens over weeks.
By the way, what did Jeff Ulbrich ever do to Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith?
What happened?
They ran it up.
Huh? You think so?
They didn't take a knee on that last score, man. Like, they're in total control.
Maybe that was a Jameis moment.
It's 30-15. There's 26 seconds left, and Najee Harris runs for 10 yards and a touchdown. No, I love it. Hey, man, you know, the old line, you just shot an unarmed man. Well, he should have armed himself. If the Jets don't have a defense, that's on them. But
Get ready.
A lot of folks, I think, all around the league probably raised their eyebrows when they saw that go down.
Hey, man, Tua is hoping to play in Week 8. By the way, he's going to be back at practice this week. How you feel about that?
He's got to play if the Dolphins are going to have any chance. What the hell could the coach and Tyreek Hill possibly be laughing about during that game yesterday, if you didn't see the video on the sideline? They got to get him out there. He'll be wearing the Guardian. There's still no confirmation he's not going to wear the Guardian, whatever. He's got to make better decisions. I still don't understand how the hell he got concussed the last time by actually literally running into someone. I mean, he had the control to not smash into somebody's arm. Either way, everybody's going to be looking at everything that happens, even more so than they did 2 years ago when he had the concussions in the first place.
Tua said today, when asked about taking this risk, about playing again, quote, every time we suit up, we're taking a risk. Whether it's a concussion, a broken bone, there's a risk, and I'm willing to play the odds. That's it. That's Tua.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, look, now we are acutely aware of the concussions. Everybody who's now in the Hall of Fame has probably had a gazillion concussions. I mean, there's people that we've talked about, friends of ours that played in the NFL, that still talk about it. Now they're just, you think guys aren't going to play as long. What's Tua's career going to look like? How does he shake this up? Because now, truly, he is just one hit. You know, that was a bit of hyperbole in the past. Now, literally, it's one hit. Career's over.
Well.
And the Dolphins have to go draft somebody. And the whole thing just changes, and all the money they spend all goes out the window.
But I get back to, like, it's never going to be Tua. It's got to be somebody to tell him it's time.
Well, isn't that his coach's job?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
Coach Bra, who loves these guys so much. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's either
it's
his
results game
or family, somebody that's close to him. But it's never going to be Tua. Tua is always going to be like, I can play and I can go out there. It's our NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. As we go around the National Football League, big news yesterday.
Which one? Deshaun?
Yeah.
I mean, could that end any uglier? And look, he's still going to have a chance to rehab, but you know he'll be all the way through until next year. We saw this happen with our guy. He's younger than certainly Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins. But, I mean, and the fans in Cleveland, look, it is what it is also, because they just said this guy's the greatest disaster in the history of the NFL.
It is. Classless for them to boo, and if you missed it, we'll let you hear what Jameis Winston, who's backing him up there, had to say about it yesterday. As silly and as stupid as I think Jameis is at times, he actually said something that made sense yesterday.
I was blown away by how, I mean, put together Jameis, because you're right, we just come to expect Jameis to be a nitwit, and he really put it in perspective. I was actually proud of the guy.
Yeah, so he's out for the season now, Deshaun Watson. What does this mean for the Browns? Who knows? Are they still able to maybe make the playoffs potentially? Yes, they did it last year without Deshaun Watson. But, Mike, I think a year goes by, another year off that deal.
Right.
And I really think they're looking for their future now. It's not his fault. Things happen. But now it gives you another year. You're going to pay him anyway. It was too cost prohibitive to try to let him go. But when he gets back or when he's ready to play, man, I think they're going to be looking at their next quarterback.
Hey, we were talking about the Chiefs living dangerously or just looking weird, not passing the eye test. Their most complete game of the season is they go into San Francisco and beat the 49ers.
Mike, unbeaten?
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about them.
Because you're so used to seeing them just do what they do, and Patrick Mahomes doing it. Lions and Vikings, I know you were interested in thinking the Lions were going to get it done in Minnesota. Sam Darnold didn't embarrass himself, but the Lions, without Hutchinson, moving forward, went 31-19.
Yeah.
Or 31-29.
Let's be honest, golf. Is anybody paying attention to what Jared Goff is doing right now? His last three or four games, how efficient he's been, how good he's been. Like, Mike, MVP stuff.
22 of 25 for two touchdowns and 280.
We should be talking about Jared Goff as an MVP. Remember, he had a game where he didn't have an incomplete pass.
And he was getting heat. They got him on, because, Brian Flores blitzes. They sacked him a bunch of times. The man had a great day.
All right, man. Coming up, game balls, no balls. We'll hand them out. Trevor Lawrence gets one over in London. Also, we'll let you hear that Jameis Winston soundbite where he talks about the crowd reacting to a Deshaun Watson's injury. And Marcus Mariota. A Marcus Mariota sighting?
Agent Zero?
Coming up. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys hitting us up about Tua. Don't worry about him.
A 41, and they turned it into an A+. There's a C. They circled the C, put an A in the middle. So basically any score you get is still coming out like an A+. Either way, he is now truly now one hit away, and their season's in the dumper. Let's be honest, guys. The only chance they have of doing anything with this money and this window that they're invested in is he's got to be back out there.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a number.
By the way, how's Tariq Hill doing, by the way?
You see him laughing on the sideline yesterday?
He's not done a damn thing, has
he? Got no delivery system.
Yeah.
Nobody can get there. The Falcons, by the way, we've got to get moving. We're one of the oldest teams in the NFL. We already discussed that phenomenon in the NFL, but still, it doesn't make it any more palpable for a fan.
I agree. But you went and added a bunch of vets. Judon, right?
Right.
Simmons. I mean, I don't want to waste time with what we have. All right. We got to get to game balls, no balls.
Yeah.
And we're live at Buffalo Wild Wings, by the way, hanging out today.
Perota location.
Yeah, and we'd love to see you guys out here. Great drinks. Tip your bartender, by the way. She's doing an amazing job.
She is so spunky. You got great energy. High five. I love people, especially a barkeep who takes pride. As we all bartender, you come up in radio, you make more money bartending when you start out. She's doing a great job. She's killing it. By the way, these onion rings, man. The best onion rings in town.
They were cooked to perfection.
I mean, golden brown. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But in fact, I'm going to take this segment off. I'm going to undo my pants like dad or, on the couch and just kind of lay back here.
Let's be honest about the onion rings. Like, it's all about the batter, right? It always is. The onion rings, like the perfection of the onion rings is all about the batter. The batter's not great. It's not going to be great.
And look at this.
Those look amazing.
And you got an onion ring inside an onion ring. It's like the Saturn of onion rings. See, look at the – it's just all perfect.
And let me guess, you're the moon, right?
Yes,
you're the moon.
Well, I'm orbiting right now this appetizer. And soon worlds will collide. It will be gone.
All right. We got to get the game balls, no balls. But, yes, we're here. We're handing out $50 gift cards for Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll give some trivia in the break. So if you're here hanging out, stick around. We'll give you an opportunity to do that. If you want to register for a Kyle Pitts signed jersey, you can do that as well. Abe is here. All right. I just saw Abe. Bo. I see Dylon. Dylon's here. Mike Johnson's hanging out with us. So all your favorite folks from 92.9.
Abe has got to be the craziest shaped person for one of the best athletes we actually have at the office.
He is.
I mean, he really does perform well in any of these competitions we've had. Dylon, but Dylan, you're in shape. Abe is shaped like a lowercase letter B.
I never doubted you, Dylon. I never doubted you. We had a competition a few months ago, and he took it personal.
But when we had the Producer Olympics up at Lake Lanier at Margaritaville, Dylan was the man. But no, but Abe, because you see him, we had those like the media member golf soccer game over at Atlanta United.
Oh, he's great.
But again, for a guy that is like, he defies the laws of physics is basically the best way to put it.
What are you trying to say about his body type?
He's got a low center of gravity.
All right. That's a good way to put it.
I believe it's called the Coriolis effect.
Hey,
for those
man,
who follow astrophysics.
Yesterday, many of you woke up. I thought it was going to be a snore fest, and it pretty much was. Patriots, Jags. Jags in a must-win situation. Both teams are 1-5. But let's give Trevor Lawrence a game ball, Mike, because they found a way to get it done, and they win the game.
Game balls.
Shotgun for Trevor. Three to the right. They're all bunched there. One to the left is Gabe Davis. Trevor drops. Looking, fires toward the goal line. Of Ozzie, but he caught for the touchdown. Brian Thomas Jr. for the score.
Great day because Sunshine's been hearing it. We've talked about it here. He just hasn't been passing the eye test. It's getting the 50 mil a year, and that's a big one. Are they going to build on it? Because you saw Peterson, they were really trying to – first time ever in the international games, they've had a kick return for a touchdown, too.
Yeah, it was – and the Jags, you know, every year they spend 2 weeks over there, so it's right. Their home away from home. But they beat up on the Patriots. Patriots 1-6. They are done, and they've been done. But the Jags trying to breathe some life into their season. Meanwhile, Mike, this is what we were talking about earlier. And listen, Deshaun Watson is a Gainesville kid. Grew up here. We know that he's got family still and a lot of friends here, and we wish him nothing but the best in this recovery. The season has not been going well for him, but I will never boo a guy who just blew out his Achilles. And this right. is what happened when Deshaun Watson is carted off. And then I want you to take a close listen to what Jameis Winston, the backup quarterback, said about it.
No balls.
We are taught you never speculate. If you turn on the CBS broadcast right now, Deshaun Watson's right calf, you can see it pop, shake. You know what this is. The cart is out for Deshaun Watson as he is down to the 23-yard line. Multiple teammates on a knee. The entire bench now coming out to stand with Deshaun Watson.
I'm grateful that I had a chance to serve Deshaun, but I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him for the past 4 years, and he put his body and life on the line for this city every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you thought should happen with him. He committed every single day that I've been here to be the best that he can be for this team.
Now, I know the cynics out there will say, yeah, he got paid a guaranteed $230 million, and that's why you hear those fans reacting with it. They also cheered the return of Nick Chubb to the field after extended, you know, missing.
And he scored yesterday.
And so you get where this is coming from. This is just born of frustration. Like, it's the worst trade in the history of the NFL. It's the worst signing contract in the history of the NFL. Owners were upset at Haslam for raising the bar for guaranteed money, and it's been an unmitigated disaster for Cleveland.
Well, it changed the league, Mike. I mean, from the Deshaun Watson signing to every quarterback that has been signed since, look how closely their contracts represent what Deshaun did. The only difference is nobody is guaranteeing the entire amount. But when you go look at Burrow, who's getting 55 a year.
Trevor Lawrence, we just talked about. Yeah.
52. All these deals look very similar, and the money that's guaranteed is pretty much because of what happened with Deshaun Watson. Either way, he is going to be done, guys. Torn Achilles. He's out for the rest of the season. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's give out a game ball, Mike. Believe it or not, this is even hard for me to say. To Marcus Mariota.
Wait, whoa, what?
Jaden Daniels, a rib injury. He leaves the game, and Mariota comes in for the Commanders. And actually did a good job.
Game balls.
They're going to run a play. Mariota is in the gun. Eckler to his right. Quick snap. Looking to his right. Now moving to his right. Rolling. Throws toward the end zone. Caught. Zach Ertz. Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington. How about Marcus Mariota?
Oh, my God. Marcus Mariota. They're storming the field. They are just boat racing the Panthers 40-7. And good for, you know what? Good for Mariota.
Marcus Omarita.
Yeah. The guy was such an enigma here in Atlanta. I just, you know, and he quit on us, you know. And at the quarterback show, I watching that show, I still had no empathy or forged any connection with him. You know, he was there, but he wasn't any good.
No. That was the problem. No. I mean, for us, he wasn't any good. Yesterday, he was good, and that's why we're giving him a game ball, but it's even hard for me to say it out of my mouth.
I know.
Marcus Omarita.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. The Commanders are doing good stuff, hard blank with good people under Dan Quinn.
Yep. Yes, they are. Hey, the Raiders are a mess right now, and I think their quarterback is going to be out as well, right? He's injured.
Yep.
Antonio Pierce, talking about the turnovers and penalties. Raiders have – now, think about this. They've traded away. They got rid of Derek Carr, right? Now they got rid of Devontae Adams. We keep talking about whether they're going to move Max Crosby. I said there's nothing on that team that makes me feel like, hey, they're moving in the right direction, and they lose again. No balls.
No balls.
Interceptions, three interceptions, and sack fumble. Football's the most important thing. Got to take care of it. Got to be smart with the ball. At the end, you know, you're trying to make a shot, get that one. The other ones, you know, you got to do a better job taking care of the ball. Penalties, those pre-snap penalties are uncalled. You know, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, man. And it was in L.A., so there were, the Raider fans were still in L.A. Were
there. Raiders!
Go Raiders! Go Dyers! But that was an ugly game. 35 points total. And, yeah, the Raiders just lost. Can we – here's the thing. We're an old team. The Falcons are one of the oldest teams in the league. If, for just argument's sake, you could make a trade with the Raiders, would you be willing to mortgage a big chunk of your future and a first-rounder to get Max Crosby?
I would.
I would.
I would
too, because we got a two-year window to go in the Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. What's up, Tinker?
Yeah, I would too. Because, again, these guys don't grow on trees. Max Crosby is proven. We're going to go draft a guy next spring and hope that he can get a couple of sacks, Mike.
Right.
You know what you're getting with Max Crosby.
Yeah, we talked about it. You know, nobody is rewriting the defensive, you know, playbook as far as Latu, as D-Led would say. Jared Verse.
Will Anderson's having a decent season.
Jared Verse is doing good. But, not, you know, and then, of course, you know, we talked Dallas Turner's really, you know, okay. So I understand why a lot of teams passed on drafting those guys in the top 15 or top 10. But still, man, we are lifeless right now on pass rush. And there's nobody in the building that can really fix this.
No.
There's nobody on this roster other than if we can see what Dorless can do that can come to the rescue.
I know there were some guys on Twitter who said, Dukes and Bill, you guys are going to give Carson Beck no balls. So I got to give him no balls. Georgia wins, but Carson Beck has got to play better. Mm. And that's the thing right now that I feel like, hey, if you're going to get there and win another chip, is the quarterback going to hold you back? So, fellas, I told you I'd give him one. No balls for Carson Beck. Give it to me.
No balls.
And I guess while we're just wrapping things up, on the positive side, Jalen Walker, Dalen Everett, Malachi Starks, the entire Georgia defense, and, of course, Mikel Williams with two sacks. Let's give a game ball to the Georgia defense, because every time Beck did something stupid, Georgia just defense came right back on the field, got Texas right off the field.
They sure did. Game balls.
Game balls.
Coming up, we'll get to eat. Yeah, man. No, man. Oh, I love Kirby, man. And he's talking about all the celebrities, by the way, that were there. That's what he's talking about. I wasn't caught up in the pictures.
I was laughing. All I could think of when they kept showing Matthew McConaughey, remember from Days to Confuse, like, hey, man, you got an answer for Georgia's defense? It'd be cooler if you did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's always there. A lot of stars were there for F1, too, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's what Kirby was talking about. I wasn't there for all that. I was there to eat. All right, guys. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. We got more gift certificates to give away, courtesy of Buffalo Wild Wings. Connor Riley's going to join us at 4 o'clock from Dog Nation to talk about this big win and what it means for the Dogs now moving forward here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Is the man hanging out at the bar.
He just won the trivia question for hour number two. Got himself a $50 Buffalo Wild Wing gift card, knowing the second AFC team to win the Super Bowl, thus bringing the merger together from AFL and NFL was the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well,
Len Dawson.
That was, and somebody guessed the Raiders, right? Somebody guessed the Raiders.
The Raiders played in the second Super Bowl. The Chiefs played the first one at the LA Coliseum. Raiders in the second one. They both lost to Green Bay Packers, Lombardi's team. They came together.
All right, more gift certificates to give them that you could win, but you got to be here and come sign up for it. It's easy. Just walk in right here at Buffalo Wild Wings. All right, we got to get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on? Happy Monday. Dogs win, Falcons lose. More on the Dogs coming up, by the way, with Connor Riley at 4 o'clock. What's going on, my man?
Well, despite all the football watching and baseball watching that took place this weekend, I managed to squeeze in a movie.
Okay.
And I cannot recommend this movie enough. On this show, we are big movie and TV show fans, and we always put out good recs, and I got to start with this one. The first movie was a surprise hit. The second one was even better. And my favorite horror movie of the last 10 years.
Oh, really?
Smile 2.
Really?
Saw the ads for it. It looks creepy as hell.
It,
never saw the first
is.
One. So it's so five leather helmets is perfection. How many leather helmets?
It's 5 out of 5.
Wow.
It is a masterpiece of a horror movie.
No kidding.
Yeah. I was enthralled from beginning to end. They pick it up right where the first one leaves off, and they do a 7-minute one-shot take.
That like a Steadicam shot?
Steadicam shot, and it ends with one of the goriest scenes I've ever seen in a movie in my entire life. It was a masterclass. If you want...
You did see Saw, right? The Saw series?
It puts that to shame.
Wow. Okay. That's strong.
And it's also...
That's strong.
That is a bold statement, Cotton.
It's equal parts gory and scary.
All right.
That's the best part about it.
Yeah. Why are you smiling at me like that right now?
looking like the trailer.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I don't do slasher and those things. I'm not a fan of the genre, but if you are, then you're saying this is the gold standard.
Yeah, okay. It's an absolute must for the Halloween season.
I don't like the gore. That's why I brought up the Saw thing. I saw the first few ones and I'm like, eh. But like the mental, the way it works, you know, the
psychological thrillers. Yeah.
This is a little bit of that. Trent went to that first one a few years ago, came home, was like, you got to go see Smile. I waited till it came out on cable, watched it, I don't know, a few years ago, because it's been a couple of years since the first one came out. And I thought the first one was okay. I wasn't in love with it. But you're telling me this is even better than the first one.
It's incredible.
All right.
It's so good. Yeah, all right. So all my horror movie fans out there, from one horror story to another. The New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers continues to put
Jets
directly into his mouth. Last night after the game, Aaron Rodgers was asked how to keep the belief in the locker room. Quote, stop listening to you guys in the media, number one.
You signed with the New York Jets.
Yeah,
okay?
Buddy.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
What do you think you're getting yourself into?
Yeah, man, no, man, here's the question. Are you ready to declare this experiment a failure?
Nah, not yet. Because I think Collins, we talked about this at the end of the game. They still got a lot of pieces. They got Hassan Reddick coming back. Now, whenever as Carl just said, his fat, lazy butt gets back to work and gets out there. But now you should have the most dynamic offensive pieces. You got one of the best running backs. You got one of the best wide receivers. Actually, you got two of the best wide receivers. Figure it out. And you got Aaron. But Aaron, I think nobody wants to really, other than the Hail Mary, which was something the other day, he just can't do it like he used to. You know, and I hope Kirk Cousins gets better. We have less of what he did yesterday because that was horrible, and Kirk owned it. But older guys coming off injuries, this is kind of what you're going to get.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say it's over, but it's fading fast. And part of this is you've given him every opportunity. The organization has done everything he's wanted, right? And it's still failing. So you've changed coordinators. Can't blame it on that. Changed head coaches. Can't blame it on that. Got your wide receiver you wanted. Can't blame it on that. Now you got a pass rusher. At some point, he'll be on the – can't blame it on that. Like, at what point does he point the finger at himself and say, hey, I'm the go guy and I haven't made this work? Either way, I think they are two games away from the season being over.
2-5. The Jets right now, they sit, Carl, number 12 in the AFC playoff standings.
Two games.
Number 12.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has thrown 7 interceptions so far. He's only done that once since 2016, and this is through half a season.
Yeah. I mean, he's bad. His decision-making is not there. Now, I will say this, Mike, and I know we've talked about it. A bunch of drops, Chris. I mean, these guys are dropping balls like crazy. It's not all the time that he's not delivering it where it should be. But, I mean, Lazard, all these guys, Garrett, all these guys are dropping balls. The ball that he dropped last night was awful. So. That's been a part of it, but when things aren't going well, they're not going well.
Hey, by the way, unrelated, I just reminded me of something in the Georgia game. Carson Beck was pretty awful at times, but the Georgia receivers didn't help him out in that first half either. They dropped a lot of passes, too.
Yeah,
and they're also missing, we know, two of their main guys in Ra-Ra and Kobe as well. All right, I thought this was interesting, and I really paused when I was watching this morning on Fox. Fox Sports was doing a roundtable discussion, and they were talking about, is it okay to feel some sympathy for Deshaun Watson after his season-ending injury. And one of the hosts was making the argument, the blanket statement that no, because of what he's, you know, accused of doing and everything in his past, that, you know, everything that he gets basically from this point forward, he has it coming to him. And the other host was arguing for some sympathy for Deshaun Watson, the football player, meaning that his lifelong dream and everything he's worked for has been taken away from him once again and over the last couple of years. So, yeah, man, no, man. Where do you guys sit on that fence?
Well, I mean, we know the kid. I know you interviewed him, Carl, when he was one of the high school stars, you know, coming up. You and Cordell spoke with him back in the day. But, I mean, he's a grown man. He made some terrible decisions in his personal life. He missed 11 games over that. And then after that, okay, let's get on to phase two. Let's go. And he just can't catch a break. I'm not saying it's karma or anything like that, but he just can't stay healthy. So now he's just one of these quarterbacks, any player, Carl, NBA, whatever it is, MLB. You can't stay healthy. You're just no good to me. And that's where he's at. But it just the price tag. He just becomes now, I've never seen it. I don't think there'll ever be anything bigger as far as a disaster than what he has been for the Browns.
Are you asking me if I should feel bad? What are you asking?
Well, it was based on, I don't know if you guys saw it yesterday when he was being carted off. He was, the tears
he's
were crying. Falling.
He knows. Sure.
And they focused on that and they spoke on that. So did that invoke any emotion for you to feel bad for him? Or are you just like, nah, this guy is getting what's coming to him?
I always feel bad for anybody that gets hurt, because I know the work that goes into it. Despite how badly or poorly he's playing, there's a lot of work that goes into getting there, man.
Right.
There just is.
Just to rehab to get back to where he started.
Yeah, and well, just to get to the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, forget about what success you've had. Like, just to get there. So I never look at that and say, you know, I don't feel bad for somebody that gets hurt. Here's the problem. People cannot separate what they feel about this. This is what he was talking about, right? This is what he was saying.
It's essentially the art from the artist.
Correct.
Argument.
You can't separate, because we have a hard time saying, all right, this guy was getting massages and doing right. freaky stuff and, you know, is sexually assaulting women and he paid a bunch of them off. You have a hard time separating that from what kind of quarterback he's been. And then now he's bad and you want to blame that on the fact that it's bad because of what the stuff that he did, which has nothing to do with either one of those things. They're two separate. He's been a bad quarterback, Mike, because, well, right. he's just been bad. I don't know why. Offense, OC, I don't know why. The off-the-field stuff is completely separate. With all of that said, I'm with Mike on this. Like, I don't think he's back as a Brown. I just don't.
Yeah, and look, at the end of the day, he's got guaranteed money, so there is a degree of empathy. But, you know, it's like that's a working-class town. And blue collar town. And Cleveland, if you put the work in, and you put, look, they were cheering, they were giving Nick Chubb a wonderful reception. He gets back on the field and contributes. So you got to earn it in Cleveland. You can't do what he did, what he's done. He's been, at the end of the day, he doesn't live up to anything they expected.
No.
Whether the injury is beyond his control or whatever, it's just been a disaster.
I'll say this about Nick Chubb, though, Mike. He embraced Cleveland.
Right.
And he also came out before this week and said, I owe it to you guys to get back. Like, there's a sense of I belong to you, and I right. let you down, and I want to come back and help. Deshaun's not done that from day one. He's not once embraced, I'm your quarterback, I'm here, I'm for Cleveland. Like, that's, to your point, that's been another issue. I don't think that's why he's beloved there. If he was beloved, even if they're losing,
right.
it'd feel different. He's not beloved there.
All right, let's end this on a positive note, okay. because we just found out that the player guest today is Bijan Robinson.
Hey!
How about that?
Bijan Mustardson with it now. Unfortunately, we didn't get the win, but, man, he had a great day, man. And they got the touches. We always talk about his usage rate, 24 touches, 140 yards combined from scrimmage. Did he have, and a TD.
Yeah, and he's on pace to have one of those sneakily the type of season we all right. thought
oh,
he,
for
was
sure.
gonna, he was going to have. All right, Big O, we got to run. Hit my music.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Chris. All right, that's coming up at 6. We will get out of the way, but we're going to hang out, Mike, at Buffalo Wild Wings here at Perimeter.
Yes, we are going to meet with our listeners and hang out and have fun, fellowship,
yes,
shenanigans.
We yes, we
on
are.
On Monday. And we got a great doubleheader. We're hoping that the Ravens do some work for us and beat up on the Bucs, who we're going to see on Sunday.
This hour brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Connor Riley stops by next from Dog Nation. What a win for the Dogs to go on the road and beat the number one team. Big win for Kirby. All the things we talked about they needed to do, they pretty much did. What's next and how do they get to where they want to be? We'll talk to Connor Riley next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.